I'm Brandy. I'm the executive director for the Pregnancy Resource Center in Mountain Grove. I've been there for 7 years as director. I was on the board for a few years before that. A few years ago, it kind of transitioned to a co-director type of situation in our center. Our previous director came back, and we split the job kind of down the middle. It's probably more like 75-25. She's there a day more a week than I am at the center. And so my job transitioned more to the marketing responsibilities. And let everyone get seated. But so that's kind of where this came in. And the reason I wanted to mention that is, how many of you are directors in here? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5. Okay, this is probably not stuff you should be doing as director. If you have a lot of responsibilities, you're working full time, this is something you can outsource to people. So just keep that in mind when I tell you this. I don't want you to think I'm working 40 hours a week and doing all this. That's just not the case. So our roles at the center in Mountain Grove are a little bit unique, I feel like, for a pregnancy center, but it's worked out really well for us. So just a little bit about me. I have 4 kids. I do some writing and blogging and freelance work on the side. So you're fine. So I do have some marketing experience with that. And it's been nice to kind of been able to transition that over to this work as well. So, sorry, I'll let everybody get seated before I say too much more. Okay, so again, this is a great opportunity, I think, to involve when we're talking about taking baby pictures, writing newsletters, writing your email content. It's a great way to involve your volunteers, a creative college student. You guys probably can identify people who would be good at these kinds of things, and it may be you as well. It may not be. If you do decide to do it, this is just some information you can either pass along, or just know that with just a little bit of practice and determination and a little bit of time, it is something that you can do. It doesn't take expert level skill. So I want to say this is a very peer-to-peer workshop. So if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have things that you've done in the marketing realm that have worked well for your center where you live, feel free to pipe up and say that. And don't wait till the end to ask questions, because I think that's helpful if we ask lots of questions. Other people will learn from your questions. So, okay. All right, so this is just an example of a cute photo. We'll talk about how we did this and how you can use your pictures to, for instance, thank your donors on Facebook. So this is just one example. I've always thought that there's a fine line between inspiration and exploitation. Does anyone know what I mean by that when it comes to your clients? You want to inspire your donors. You need to inspire your donors. But you want to protect your clients. You want to protect the women that you're working with. You don't want them to think that another handout. Do we have any more handouts? We don't want them to think that we're bringing them in and we just want to use them for their story or for our next fundraiser. So there are ways to do that, obviously. And I don't know if anyone else just really overthinks that, but I think when I first started as a new director, I went to an IFLA conference the very first year, which I don't know if that's the place to go the very first year. It was a lot of legal information. I mean, it was like the very first month I was on the job. And one of the things we talked about was taking pictures, using your client's stories, and it just terrified me. And that wasn't the point of the workshop at all, but that was what I took away from it. And I also have a background in legal work, so I was really overthinking that. And there was a Kirk Walden newsletter in 2019. I should have kind of summarized it. But basically, he just said, get their permission and take your pictures, tell your stories, don't overthink it, and keep it simple. And that really helped me. It was just a short little article that he used to write in the, I forget what newsletter it was, email that used to go out to us. So the problem is that it's not that we don't have amazing stories. You can probably all think of stories from the last month even at your center. The problem is knowing how to tell it with integrity and with respect for your client. So that should still be the utmost importance. We don't want to overthink it, but we don't want to underthink it either. written specific permission is still really crucial. And most likely your legal organizations that you work with, if you work with NIFLA, or even just your affiliations with Heartbeat, CareNet, they'll have resources on these kinds of things, either a form, like a sample form for getting your client's permission, or they can point you towards a resource that you can use. So having something that's very specific on asking the client their permission and then telling them what they're giving permission for. So specifically, is this going to be for newsletters? Is this going to be something all their friends are going to see on Facebook? Possibly, possibly not. Most clients really don't ask very many questions, to be honest. So again, that kind of goes back to the overthinking. But I think it's good just to have it in writing and try to explain it to them, just very simple, basic terms. So that's what we do, and we have them sign the form. And I honestly, I don't have them sign it before like every photo session. If it's a client we've had for a long time, and maybe I've taken a newborn session, and then they want to do a one-year session, I'll just get verbal consent for the next time, because we still have that form on file. But I do remind them of everything that they signed and just say, just want to make sure this is still okay with you. If they decline for us to use their pictures, for what we've been doing for these little photo sessions, we still give them all the photos for free at the end. So that's totally fine. It's still a great gift to your client and a blessing to them. So we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
So you print all your pictures?
So I give them the option of like putting it on like a disc. I don't know, most people don't use those anymore. So I have like a Dropbox link where they can download them themselves. Most clients have the ability to do that, but I always ask them if they need me to print them, if they don't have a phone, or we will print them. And it ends up being like $7 for a handful of 4x6 photos and maybe a couple of 5x7s. So very minimal cost for the center if we do
we
print
just
them.
Take ours on our company's cell phone.
Yes, we do too. And I will tell you about that. And that's okay. Totally good. Totally fine. Acceptable. Okay. Let's see. Make sure I'm on the right side here. Is this still working? Okay. So, you're fine. With this information, we were talking about this, at how bad our pictures were in the center. Historically, we would look back, and every year we would be getting ready for our banquet, and we'd be like, we can't use any of these photos, they're just so bad. And it wasn't that the subject was babies are babies, people are going to ooh and aah over the pictures, but we just wanted it to look more professional. So we just decided we're going to find out what it would take just to have a little area in our office where we could kind of permanently have a setup there, so that when we have clients in the office, we can easily snap a few pictures. And so we purchased some just some simple props. We had a backdrop, and I'm going to show you all of this, where you can get it and what we bought. We started holding photo sessions a few times a year, usually before Christmas. That's our big one. I'll pass around our Christmas card the last couple of years. These are just kind of as an example. The Christmas one is a big one, but also we try to do a couple of newborn sessions a year. So I'm talking 3 to 4 times a year is pretty much all that we do. And we do try to keep the stuff in the office so that if we have a client that we know we might not see for a while for whatever reason, anyone in the office can quickly kind of set things up and take pictures. So we'll talk about that. Okay, so obviously we can't attribute increased donations just to pictures. That would be like impossible to track or quantify. But it certainly didn't hurt being able to take our own pictures of our real clients and the real babies that have been impacted. Really helped us. It helped with our social media followers, our engagement. Any kind of real picture always does better over a stock photo, especially on social media. Algorithms see that differently. There's 100 reasons why that works better. People connect with people, with real people. So it really helped us, especially this last couple of years, whenever COVID kind of made in-person gatherings either really difficult or impossible. And our last Our banquet in 2020 was scheduled, I think, a week after the shutdown. So we were kind of in a bind. We had a big, probably a lot of you were in that situation. We had a big banquet for, 300 people planned, and we couldn't have it for obvious reasons. So we quickly switched that over to a virtual event. We posted a lot of our baby pictures on social media. We sent some things out in the mail. And actually, the last 2 years, we didn't have an in-person banquet for different reasons. And we were able to bring in just as much as we had when we had our in-person events. So again, that's not just attributed to the baby pictures, but we think it helped a lot, having that personal connection for our donors. Okay. So the truth is that we only reach, we know this, a certain percentage of our donor base with our annual fundraisers. Let me start this here. Okay. People are visual. Quality images create powerful connections with our mission. Stories with your pictures told in a compelling way can turn fans into lifelong supporters. So we know that. We know that there's probably certain social media accounts that we follow because they're just so good at telling the story, whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's just, a writer or someone that you enjoy reading their stories. If you notice, there's usually a personal photo attached to those if you follow, like, any blogs or things like that. And it just automatically draws your eye to that image when it's something that's more familiar and just real looking. Like, people are looking for that. So we don't want to assume that everyone understands what our center is doing. Even if they've been to every banquet for the last 15 years at your center, sometimes I'm really surprised when I'm talking to donors and they don't really have the full picture of what we do. So it just made us think we need to do a better job of telling that story. And so the pictures, the newsletters, the emails, all things you can do to reinforce that. And probably a lot of you are doing these things, so again, feel free to share things that have worked for you, too. Okay. Whenever I talk to other directors at meetings or, like, at these events, we're always talking about marketing kind of things and how your, latest event went. And one of the things that seems to be really overlooked are the printed newsletters. How many of you guys actually still send out a printed newsletter? Okay. Do you still send them out, like, how many times a year do you guys send them out? Quarterly. Awesome. You do 2 times a year. I know you send out really awesome newsletters.
Well, we cut back, actually. We're doing 2 times a year.
You're doing 2.
But we do the email blast.
Yeah, you guys send out pretty frequent. Yeah. Do you guys send out more emails now and less printed materials, or is it still pretty, like, you duplicate everything pretty much with your newsletters? Yeah. So we'll send out, like, email updates in between our newsletters, and then when we send our printed newsletters, we'll also send those files through email, if that makes sense. So they have, like, a digital copy of it. It can be hard to get people on your email list. That's the struggle. So we'll talk about that a little bit, too. So these three things, emails, and then also the real photos, which we've talked about. The other thing with that is learning to repurpose your content. Sometimes whenever you think about setting up, for instance, like, your Facebook post for the month, do you guys all do that yourself, or do you have a staff member that does it? Do you have a marketing company that helps you, like, with your social media? What do you guys
have? A marketing company and one of the board members.
Okay, so you have some help, so that's really good. Yeah.
Use
a staff member. Do you guys, like, use a scheduling tool to schedule out, like, your social media for the week or the month? Or
we try to do at least a weekly thing. But
okay. That can be really hard.
I use Hootsuite.
Okay, yeah. So another scheduling tool.
Yeah, so it's amazing because I post 3. I do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I post 3 on our client side.
Uh-huh.
And then we're starting to do our donor side more. And,
that's good.
So that becomes a lot of posts.
It is a lot. Is that per day?
That's
per
week.
Yeah.
So 3 a week on our client side. And then mm-hmm. Our donor side, we're doing more and more.
Yeah.
But Hootsuite is a godsend for me.
It's wonderful. So that's another scheduling tool.
So once you publish it,
mm-hmm. Hootsuite.
You can upload it,
mm-hmm.
and then you mm-hmm. can schedule it out And then you can, if you forget, or what I try to do is make it a goal to have like my month scheduled before.
So you make like a content calendar where you can schedule out.
Another thing that helped me, I don't know if they've come out with it last year, but Choose Life Marketing, one of their free resources, had a calendar. And
It
told you like fun days, like Happy Donut Day.
I think I saw
and
that.
It also told you like National Adoption Month and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So I would gear my post towards that as well.
I need to pull that up again. That's a great resource. Did you guys hear what she was saying? So those are free resources. If you get on Choose Life Marketing's email list, they'll give you some resources like that. So it gives you ideas for content.
Absolutely.
And that's a huge time saver.
What she said, that first one?
Is Hootsuite?
Hootsuite.
Yeah. Do they have a free version that you can use?
I believe so.
Okay. Some of those tools are paid. I think, now Hootsuite, you can schedule, what, Facebook? Can you do Instagram?
You can do Facebook, Instagram, and I do Facebook, Instagram. I do two Facebooks and Instagram.
Okay.
And I think there's something else.
So she's got like her client-facing page, her donor-facing page.
What you do is you just link your accounts, and then when you go to post or publish your thing in the publisher to schedule it out, you click which ones you want to go. So if I'm doing a donor's thing, I can just click my donor. I don't have to send it to everybody.
That's really nice.
It's super easy and nice.
It's kind of warm in here. So Hootsuite is an option. Facebook has, it's called Creator Studio. If you type that in, it's like a separate app within Facebook, and you can schedule all of your Facebook posts if you only have like Facebook and you don't have Instagram and other things. Actually, you can schedule both Facebook and Instagram. They're owned by the same company. So we do that for ours. We're not very consistent with it, to be honest. We could do a lot better because it's all me. But, to keep up with algorithms and all that, I'm sure you've heard this from the marketing companies, like it really helps for consistency the more often you can post and the more consistent. So if you could do three posts a week versus a random one every time you have a fundraiser, which is what tends to happen, I think, for a lot of us.
Hootsuite also keeps track of that.
That's good.
And it'll let you know if you've had interactions based on your posts.
I love that. I like to see the stats and like the engagement on there. That's really helpful tools. And then you know what works, what things are connecting with your audience, and what things you can let go and or try something else. Okay, so you guys are probably already doing most of these things. But repurposing your content, that can also help when you're planning your content calendar, even if you're just doing it on the fly and you're posting three times a week on Facebook, you're sending two emails a month, whatever it is. Sometimes you're just inspired to write a little snippet about something that happened in your day in your center. So you might put that on Facebook with a little photo or something. But repurposing would mean just to use that content for your email list. You know, not all your donors are on Facebook. Not all your donors are getting your printed newsletter. And a portion of them may just be on your email list. So, and sometimes you can write it, you can retell the story a little bit different way. Maybe you go into a little bit more detail. Maybe you take away a little detail. Because you could cross, you know, some of those donors twice. But again, I think I have this in an upcoming slide, but we think we're getting the word out there a lot more than we actually are, as far as what our donors actually see versus what we are posting and scheduling and all those things. So we want to keep that in mind. Let's see. Also newsletters. Do you guys put return envelopes in every single newsletter that you send out? Yeah, that's really, really important. We weren't doing that when I first came, and we started putting just return envelopes. It should be obvious. And our newsletters pay for themselves now, so the cost of them are recouped through just donations from our newsletters. Okay, so this is just an example of kind of like tying together repurposing content. You guys are already doing all these things. Obviously, that's a stock photo. There's a time and a place for stock photos. When you need like a high resolution image, a lot of times with your like your banquet materials and things like that, depending on your pictures that you've taken in-house, and we'll talk more about this, some are going to be more crisp than others, basically, and some of them are not going to work well for your printed materials, so you have to be aware of that. But just talking about repurposing content. Let's see. Okay. So again, donors are just slammed with media and marketing. I mean, think about when you get on Facebook, it's just ad. It's overwhelming. Your donors are just like you. So you want to err on the side of over-communicating the message. You know, maybe that post, well, one of the things, maybe not so much with social media, but with email, you can do like a resend campaign, you know, where you, most email tools will allow you to see who has not opened that email, and you can resend that email to all your unopened people on your list. So every email service provider is different, so I can't really tell you how to do that, but that's a really good tool to think about so that you're not having to constantly create new content, but you can make sure that more people are seeing the content you've already created, which is really important. You need to help your donors keep your center and your client needs top of mind. So that's a few ways to do that. All right. Again, stock photos serve a purpose. They can help emphasize a point. Sometimes I just need a graphic, you know, for something to post on Facebook. Maybe there's a holiday coming up and it's National Adoption Month and I don't have any freebies in my inbox from Choose Life or whatever it is. iRapture provides some of those things too if you're with them. So stock photos serve a purpose. Sometimes it's easy to just go and grab a stock photo if you have a subscription or if your website provider, iRapture, also provides some stock photos for free for you. So they do serve a purpose, but again, real photos just go a step further and they connect with the heart of your audience. Okay, this is just a quick example. This is like one of our very first photos we took where we were trying. Does that make sense? Like, we had lots of photos before this. I'll kind of show what the inside of our office looked like before. It's very dark. It's very not a good backdrop for baby photos. And so this was after we just bought a few props, including our background kind of screen that we're using. It was just a night and day difference how bright these pictures were compared to earlier. Obviously, the swaddling job's terrible. It's nothing professional about it, but it was just a day and night difference from before. So this was our first Christmas session that we did, and just, I mean, $100 in supplies, basically, and we've used these over and over and over again, not necessarily the Christmas stuff, but the backdrop, all of that. Still not perfect photos. I see a lot of wrinkles, and there's probably some random cords and things like that, but we also use an iPhone, and this was just in my office, like in the corner with the lights shut out, and we use Christmas lights and for our lighting and a couple of lamps, I think, on either side. We just kind of played with it and took several, like 500 probably pictures until we got a couple of good ones. So just kind of an example of what you can do with just a few supplies and just to take that a step further. Okay. So you already know this. You guys probably have photographers you work with. How many of you have ones that are like work with you regularly and maybe donate their time? Okay, you have one. Do you guys have to pay for them? Do they donate? Okay. How does that work out with your clients? Like, is it pretty, do you have trouble getting that scheduled with the photographer?
There's an ebb and a flow to it. And he was doing a lot of pictures and then we had a group that decided to not go with somebody else, and now we're trying to get them to go back.
I hear you. Awesome. Yeah. You guys had someone you were sending people to, weren't you? Is that working out okay for you? Or?
Well, if they go, yes.
Yes, that's the problem. Sometimes it's a problem getting them to come to us, too, so yes. That's really no different. Yes. And obviously, if you have someone that will donate their time and you can get the clients to wherever the place is, that's my first option. I would always want a professional photographer if that's an option. We did not have good luck with this when we tried to schedule a few different times. Some centers will use vouchers for clients to go to their studio. That's kind of optimal because they're going to have the lighting and, you know, everything right there that they need. We've had photographers come to our office, or we can just you could set aside a client fund, ask donors to donate specifically to baby photography, and telling them this is for the mom who can't afford, you know, like a newborn session. And you could do a couple of giveaways maybe per year for your client. I think donors would donate towards that. So there's pros and cons to having a professional do them, obviously. Okay, so those are the benefits. Obviously, it's if you can do it yourself, it's low cost. You can utilize more volunteers. There may be people that want to help in your center, and this happens to me a lot. I don't know about you. They want to volunteer, but I don't know where to put them in the center, either because of their work schedule or because of the limited space that we have. We have a pretty small office, and we're all like bumping into each other as it is. So it's hard for us to have a lot of volunteers like working with clients and things like that. So this is something, again, that like a college student could do in the summertime or on a Christmas break. That would be perfect for like your Christmas photo session. You usually need to do it more like November to get everything done in time for your Christmas cards, but just a few ideas. And you have more creative control, more flexibility when you take them yourself. And then also just blessing the clients with free photos. Most clients, if they know they're going to have free photos, they're more than happy to sign up for it. And it's just really fun, too. So, okay. So this is an example. These were the pictures we had before. It's our carpet is brown, like our walls were brown. Our trim is brown. There's brown. It's just that's the theme of our office. We've done some painting since then, but it's we have indoor-outdoor carpet that's like glued to concrete. That's our floor. And it's really been a challenge over the years to get any kind of good picture. You know, baby looks a little constipated in the picture. It's just not a very flattering picture. And she's a beautiful baby, but you can't tell it. It's obviously, you know what I'm trying to say. Not the most flattering picture. So there's, you know, a lot of background junk. That's really hard. You can't just like eliminate that from a photo without a lot of Photoshop skills. Very dark. We don't have good lighting in our office. So a few simple changes can make a really big difference with that. And this is that same baby from before. She has an amazing story. She was born at 26 weeks, and she's 6 months here, almost 6 months, I think. These were taken, I think, last fall, and I believe she had just gotten off her feeding tube, if I remember right. So needless to say, she really deserved her glamour shots, so we just were so excited to take her picture, and definitely a family that would not have been able to afford to have had, you know, any kind of professional pictures. Kind of a side note to this too, I don't work with clients so much anymore because my role has changed, and so it's really a blessing to me too to be able to do that with the pictures. And it's been neat to even be able to witness to clients while you're taking pictures, because you have all this time where you're trying to get one or two good photos for the mom, and sometimes she'll try to get the baby to sleep or you know, we have to stop and feed the baby, you have to stop and change the baby. There's a lot of time to sit and talk to the moms. And it's just been really neat. I feel like I really know them by the end of the session, and I'll see them in town and they remember, you know, that we took their picture and stuff. So it's really fun. Also, if you have A2A, don't forget to count photo shoots as a mentoring session. If you've talked to them, you know, and discussed their, maybe it's not supposed to be a mentoring session, whatever it's called. I don't do that, obviously. So, but you can count that time as time spent with the client discussing their needs and things like that. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
So do you schedule a certain time, like, for them to come in and do the pictures? Because
mm-hmm.
we just do ours, like, when they come in with their new baby.
Yes.
Like, oh, let's take a picture right quick, you know. Yes. And so
that's what we
guess
said
if you have
done.
The whole setup and everything, mm-hmm. you would spend more time with them.
Ideally, we thought we were going to, like, leave up our stuff like all the time so that we could take tons of pictures. And sometimes we'll keep it up for a few extra days, like after a photo session, so that if people come in just to have a little variety of stuff to post like on social media, it's not real practical when you have a really small office to leave up this huge thing for weeks. So we do schedule them now. It's just worked out a little bit better for us. I'll usually do it in a Monday morning when we don't really have a lot of other appointments going on, and then it's in my office, so it's kind of out of the way, and it's worked out pretty good so far. So, okay, so what we use, and I'll have some pictures coming up of all this, but just a simple photography backdrop. It's kind of has like a velvety feel to it. They're on Amazon. They're really easy to find. Approximately $43. I'm a numbers person. Like, I like to break it all down. Like, here's what you're going to have to invest in it. You know, for some centers, this isn't a big deal at all. But we do use a smartphone. I have an iPhone 11. Another staff member has like a newer Samsung phone, I think, that they've used. Something with portrait mode is really, really helpful. It kind of gives it that professional feel. It basically blurs out the background without you having to have any real photography skills. So I did have a DSLR camera for a while, and it just had such a big learning curve that I really wasn't patient enough to learn how to use it, and so I just got rid of it and started using my phone. And actually the pictures turned out better just because I know how to use my phone and the settings on my phone better. And newer phones just have amazing technology, so you probably know this, but we have a few different like textured fuzzy type blankets, different textures of swaddle blankets, like muslin blankets. They make some different ones now that are kind of gauzy and stretchy. We'll talk about that a little bit too. Sometimes they call them like a photography mat, and they're just like the right size for a newborn baby, and then you're not, you know, having to look for odd size blankets and things to use. And let's see, the larger swaddles are really the best. If you can find, if you're wanting to actually swaddle the baby and you know how to do that well, I'm not very good at it. Someone in your center might be. But if you're wanting to get those more professional swaddled looks, the bigger, really large swaddling blankets really help. Most of the ones, like the flannel ones that you get in your donation, like they're way too small to swaddle any baby ever. I don't even know why they sell them. They're kind of useless, so especially for pictures. We have like a couple of different like natural texture baskets of different kinds in our office. And then a boppy pillow will sit on the floor with the photography backdrop just kind of draped over it. So that kind of gives something for the baby to like be propped up on or lay down on. Our lighting is pretty much just floor lamps that we already have in the office. We really don't have room for anything else, so we try to use what we have. And then whoever is not busy will help me and arrange things and clean up, spit up, and whatever else needs to be done, usually while I'm taking the pictures. So the patience of Joe, that also helps. It takes, sometimes the time investment is probably the hardest part, because you really do want to get good pictures for your client, but then also you're like, I've got a banquet coming up, like I need at least, you know, one good picture for this or that. But it's well worth the time. So $100 was basically our initial investment for everything that we bought just to get started. And we've kind of added more things as time has went on, just so all of our pictures don't look exactly the same with the same tan blanket and fuzzy backdrop and all of that. So the white backdrop has worked best for us, and I think you'll get the brightest photos when you use a white backdrop. Unless you're professional and you know how to use. I did buy a black one, and the pictures just did not turn out well. You really kind of have to know what you're doing, I think, to use those. Did you? You can. My experience was not good with that, because our walls were textured, and then you've got your baseboard, and like you think things won't show up, but then when you go to edit, you're like, everything is in the picture that you, there's a light switch, there's a outlet, there's lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like cover up your baseboard maybe with something.
You can. It really,
but the texture of it won't mess it up.
It kind of does, yeah.
It's still going to look like it's against a wall.
It still just looks like a wall. I don't know how to explain okay. It. Unless you could take like a sheet or something and maybe tack it up halfway. I mean, your baby's small on the floor. You really don't need a huge. Okay. The backdrop, though, we started kind of encouraging the mom to take a few pictures with the baby. I have some at the end of this. And they turned out so sweet. Like, they didn't come in expecting to take pictures with their baby, but we just kind of coaxed them onto the floor. And some of those turned out really, really well. So I think it's nice to have that option of the height so that if you do have mom or dad, sometimes we'll just put them on the couch. We have some leather couches, and they look okay for pictures. When this is over, if you would like links to all the stuff that we purchased, I can send you like an email or something with the exact things that we bought, because it was a little bit overwhelming on what to buy and what, you know, so you're not spending a ton of money. Okay, so again, newer phone with portrait mode. If you have some photography skills, go for it with your digital cameras. Or maybe you're willing to learn that. You know, that's still a really good option. You can obviously do a lot more with a digital camera, especially if you can learn manual mode, and that's where you can really get some creative shots. It's just a matter of how much time do you want to spend, how much patience do you have, all of that. Let's see. Sometimes I can't tell if these are synced up or not. It's not showing up on my screen. Okay, so for inspiration, obviously Pinterest. My client services director, she loves Pinterest, and she's like decorated her house with all these Pinterest. Like, it looks amazing. She's really good at it. So whenever we have a session scheduled, I'll tell her, you know, I'll ask her to look for some ideas, just something different than what we did last time. And really, like, the poses and all that really don't matter as much as just getting a good, crisp, bright picture. So I don't worry too much about the props, other than if it is holiday pictures, we do want to have a few things in there that kind of make it look like a holiday picture. Obviously, you can do a lot with just a hat. I think I talk about this in the next one, but really, like, less is more when it comes to props. You want it to be about your baby. You know, you want to be able to tell your story without a lot of distraction in the picture, without a lot of you know, stuffed animals and just a lot of stuff. At first we thought, you know, we'll use these holiday, I don't know, like the balls that you hang on your trees. And we had all kinds of stuff in the picture, and it was just like way too much. And like, the baby's this tiny little speck in the middle of the picture, and you don't want that. So, okay. YouTube, there's tons of tips and tutorials. Again, just depending on how much time you want to spend and invest on learning your photography skills. This was something that we bought that has been really helpful in the picture earlier with the 26-week baby. That's what we used for her pictures, and it just really popped in the photos. It's still light and bright. It's just kind of different shades of cream and tan, and that can be used for, you know, boys or girls either, so that was nice too. Just a really versatile kind of setup. Swaddles, boppy pillows, baskets, all those things. We actually just had in our office, but you could, you know, buy things that are designated for your sessions. Okay, lighting. This was on our Christmas photo one year. This baby was so sweet. One of the tips that I had that seems to work pretty well, not so much when you're doing like Christmas photos because you want the lights off most of the time. You're going to get more of that glow if you use the Christmas lights and have a really low light or no light in the room. But if you're taking bright white pictures, this is on our next screen. Let's see if you can see. The light comes in from the side, so you kind of want it to be parallel to your screen. No, perpendicular. What am I thinking there? You want it coming in from the side. So that helped us a lot because we don't have a lot of light. We have like these fluorescent lights. They're not very bright in our office. We are getting a remodel soon, so I am so excited because we will not have brown carpet anymore. But having that light coming in, and then we'll usually put like a lamp on each side of our screen, and sometimes I'll take a few pictures, and my helper, if they look dark still, I'll tell her, let's do it again, and like pull the lamp down. So it looks crazy whenever we're doing pictures, but you can, the point is, you can use things that you have in the office. You don't need to buy a lot of extra things. And that's just kind of an example, having like the boppy pillow, and that's kind of worn out, but Lisa will help me get it set up, and then I'll just kind of walk around the baby and take 500 pictures at different angles, and we'll get at least a couple of good ones. So, Also, if you're using like ideas from Pinterest, you might think about printing out those pictures ahead of time, just to make it go more quickly. We've spent a lot of time like fiddling on our phones and trying to think of different things to do with the baby. If the baby's asleep, that is like optimal, especially if it's a newborn, you can get some of the best pictures. It gets a little harder when they get older. They get really wiggly, and we still do them, but just a white blanket, white background. We've gotten probably our best pictures, I feel like, with just very, very simple colors and lack of color, really. And just don't worry again about swaddling. Do the best you can with what you have. I feel like that's been one of the best tips we had was, you know, you can drape blankets around babies. After they're like a few weeks old, they don't want to be swaddled anyhow, so there's really no point trying to get too fancy. Okay, this one was really cute. This was also my office. This was before, I think he just kind of got off, like the screen was over here. And so you can kind of see my baseboard in the back if you look really close. I tried to blur it out the best I could. I actually edited this photo quite a bit. But and there's like a neon green toddler chair in the corner over here. So, but it still turned out pretty well, and we used it in our Christmas cards. So, I mean, they don't have to be perfect. But it's neat to see what you can do with, you know, just a few Christmas lights and a few props like that. He's so cute. He's like the happiest baby, easiest baby to take pictures of.
Do you use Photoshop for your editing? Or
Photoshop is an option, yeah. Lightroom, Photoshop has an app called Lightroom that's free. At least last time I checked, is it still free? Does anybody know?
Yeah.
Do you use that? My kids use it. I use PicMonkey and Canva both for photo editing, and sometimes even just the program that comes on your laptop, your photo program, it has editing tools. Sometimes that's all I need, as long as the picture isn't super dark or there's not a lot of stuff that I need to like edit out or crop out of the background. I would just start with what you have or what you know how to use first, and kind of go from there. Let's see.
What was the one you said after PicMonkey?
Canva. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people probably make graphics and things for their center with Canva. I use it a lot on my websites, and it does have a free version that you can use. It has some photo editing tools. You can add text to your photos, all those kinds of things. Okay. What I try to tell the moms whenever we set up their time for their little photo session is maybe bring one outfit that you want the baby to have, and that may not be the picture that we'll use. It just kind of depends on what they bring him in. And then maybe one neutral or holiday themed item, and that can be something that they bring or something that we have. I usually try to encourage them to like just keep it as simple as possible. Again, the best pictures, they're usually naked, honestly, or just have a diaper on. Too many colors and too much going on is just really a distraction. Clothing gets really wrinkled too on you know, babies, especially if they're moving around, and it can be hard to like keep their shirts pulled down, and it's just a lot to deal with when you're trying to take pictures. So let's see, just a few examples. That one turned out good with just like a blanket on the floor. We've used this hat I don't know how many times on different babies, and all the pictures somehow still look pretty unique. Let's see. And like that was an outfit mom brought, and then same blanket, same backdrop that we've used for lots of our pictures. So you can do a lot with that. This baby, I just had to put this up. Her hair grows straight up. It's so funny. And she's like, I used hair gel. I did everything. And I was like, no, leave it. It's perfect. It was so cute. It was about as fuzzy as the blanket. What time does this end again?
We have 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Ask lots of questions, okay? I probably don't have the answers, but we can talk about it. That's what I like about the workshop. Okay. This is actually my niece, Emmeline. I brought the stuff home after she was born so that we could just practice. And I just kind of put this in as an example. Like, the black was really, really hard to work with. We tried to do one where we were, like, holding her. It was, like, the Pinterest fail. It was so funny. So, like, with the black background and the black and white picture. But I think the more that we do them, they just tend to get a little bit better with each session. So, let's see. All right. So, we did talk about editing tools already. Lightroom is free. Canva has a free version. I don't think I put PicMonkey on here. That's one I use on my websites a lot. I don't think it has a free version anymore. It has like a 7-day trial, but really you can do all the same stuff with the other two apps that are free. Some of the common things will be increasing the brightness on your photos, decreasing the vibrance a little bit. Sometimes that's what makes your photo look yellow. Look for kind of a pink tint. I have some pictures. I don't know if I brought them. I thought I had done such a good job editing, like my very first Christmas session. And then we get them printed out at Walmart and they're just so pink. Like the baby looks like, I don't know, cotton candy or something. So it helps if you can look at it on several different devices too. You don't want to spend all day doing it, but maybe look at it on your phone, look at it on your laptop, print one off on a piece of paper just to kind of get an idea of what it's going to look like when you print it, especially if you're going to use it for a big like marketing campaign or maybe for your banquet materials. Let's see. And sometimes I'll edit them a few different ways and just see how they look once they're printed out or once I've looked at them on several different devices. And when in doubt, like black and white photos are always, it's always good to try to do a few of those too. Let's
see. So the photographer we used had an example of a picture he took and was printed at Walgreens versus the same picture unedited printed somewhere else. Uh-huh. And he said some places will edit them and it changed the coloration of it when you get it printed. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. So it might be wise to ask a photographer when they get their pictures printed.
Yes.
Keep it, because like the difference was night and day.
I wish I could remember. I do know where there's a local photographer. If you search for like professional quality prints, you'll find a few of those online. There was one I used to use, and I can't think of the name of it. But I want to say the Walmart ones are the ones we've had a little bit of that
M-Pix
pink.
M-Pix is really good.
What was that?
M-Pix.
M-Pix.
Is that I-X?
Like I-M or E-M?
No, M.
Oh, M-I-X. I know what you're talking about. Heard of that. Okay.
M-I-X. They're really good. They're really, really affordable. And you get professional photographers.
Oh, I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
For printing.
For printing.
Yeah. And they're pretty affordable, you said, too.
Very affordable. Just about the same price as Walgreens, maybe a couple cents more.
Awesome. And if you print like your own newsletters, you can print them on your own, you know, newsletter paper, and then you'll know what the final product's going to look like. We had trouble. We used to use PS Print for our newsletter, and their coloring was just off a lot. And we had the same issue with a local printer we used for a while, and they were all yellow. So it does kind of make a difference, I think, where you get it printed and what kind of paper it's printed on. And so if you're doing something online, especially for your banquet materials, we pretty much do all of our own now. Get a proof if it's going to be a service that you're going to use to print them for you, where you're not printing them in-house. Be sure to get a proof way ahead of time so that you can see. Yeah.
You went right where I was going to go. We do our own printing.
Okay.
So what about the pixels and saturation adjustments when you're setting that to print? I mean, like on your printer settings, I've got things to select, and I know there's, it worked better when I selected enhanced on some than the normal.
So that's a good thing to play around with. Yeah. Honestly, I have not messed with a lot of that on my printer settings. Probably more so, I'm trying to think. But since they're kind of edited ahead of time, I'm looking more at that, and I print it before I would like put it in my newsletter. So, but that is something else to look at, I guess, would be your printer settings. Yeah.
So if you take a picture and you're like from here to there, but you want a close-up, is it better to take the picture from here to there or get close to the baby.
Yes. I may have this in here later. Always try to get right in their faces. Okay. Anytime you zoom, your picture is going to turn out blurry.
Yeah.
And it'll look good most of the time on your phone, but once you put it on your computer or you go and transfer it over to your photo app, it's, you can really see it, and it just has a grainy look to it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember I need to tell one of my volunteers that because, not volunteers, one of our staff members, because one of them we had is a good picture, but I could tell she zoomed in on it. Thought, well, it'll be fine for like Facebook and stuff like that, you know. And one idea too is you could have one person who takes the photos and one person who edits them. You may have a lot of these young girls, like my teens, they are always editing photos. They just think it's fun, you know, and they'll post them on their Instagram or whatever. So you may have someone that you can identify that would be really good at the editing part, but maybe isn't available to take the pictures, or maybe you're better at taking them, or one of your staff members kind of has an eye for that. But maybe they don't have time to edit them. That part can be kind of, it takes a lot of time. So, okay. So the goal again is not professional photos, but just to, just better photos that help us tell our client's story and catch our audience's attention. Just an example of like some of the edits. It's just, I try not to over edit anything, just brighten them up a little bit. This one I can tell they zoomed in a little bit. It's a little bit blurry, but just brightening them up goes a long way.
Do you know any, I'm sorry, I'm asking
some
questions. Do you know about, so sometimes when I try and do that, it makes their skin like right here and their forehead look funny.
Yeah, it kind of depends on what program. I think after you do it a lot, you kind of know what to look for on that. And then you can sometimes use another setting like the shadows, reducing the shadows. That might kind of help with if it's on their skin. A lot of times that's an issue. And sometimes you just don't notice until you print it out. And then you can go back and edit it again.
Until we printed it out.
Yeah. Even just printing it on some paper and then going back and editing it again can help. Just in my experience, I am not a professional photographer, so take that with a grain of salt. Just some more tips. Again, if they're sleepy, I really try to jump on. If it's a new mom, I'm like, get her scheduled for some pictures because those are just the easiest to take. They're not moving around. They're sleeping most of the day. They are squishy and they are bendable, and that is like perfect for pictures, especially when you're not a professional. 3 to 5 months is hard, in my opinion, because they don't they're not sitting up yet. They don't want to lay down. And it's just hard to get them happy in a picture. So also pay attention to things that are in the shadows also, but the corners of the frame. There's nothing worse than like getting the perfect picture and then having something in one of the corners where you can't crop it out without cropping part of the baby out. And it's just stuff you kind of learn as you do them. Let's see. Okay, getting close on time. I think I'm almost done. Okay, we talked about this, sending Dropbox links. Sometimes, I don't know if we've done this recently, but maybe consider framing one. If you have a client you've really worked with for a long time, that could be a special gift for them. We give them a basket of things for their baby after they have their baby, and we've talked about that. Maybe start even just putting a blank picture frame in there, and then when we have their pictures done, they have a picture to put in that frame, so... Okay. The nice thing about your phone, too, is, which you can do this on most digital cameras, I think, is you can upload them directly from your phone to, you know, one of these Pixel services, MPix or Walmart or wherever you're using. So, okay. On to newsletter writing. I promise I'll finish. How much time do we have?
15.
Oh, okay. We do them quarterly. Most of you guys are already doing that. We usually have two per year that are mostly about advertising or banquet. They're like a front and back. They're pretty much just about those two fundraisers. And then we do more of like a four-page folded newsletter the other two times a year. So that'll have more, maybe more detailed client stories. I usually try to put either a story or some kind of quote, maybe a couple of quotes from clients. Obviously, client pictures. New programs that we're doing, if we've initiated something new, we started bringing meals to moms after they have their baby, and so we wrote about that recently. If you have a new staff member, a board member that you want to highlight, it's good for the community, your donor base, to know who else is involved in your center. It'll a lot of times inspire them to give or maybe see how they can get involved. A legislation update, I try to not do too much of that in our newsletter. I might post something every now and then on Facebook, but I want to keep it focused on our clients and what we're doing and not all the noise. So there's a time and a place for that. There's something really big going on. I feel like we shouldn't ignore it at the same time. But tax credit reminders, I think I put that in every single newsletter, and I just keep kind of reiterating that. Obviously, thank you to donors, community, if you have grants, things like that, you've received donations. We have some kids that'll bring in sleepers a couple times a year, and I'll try to get their picture and put that in our newsletter.
You do both the newsletter and the Christmas card in December?
Yes. We started just sending our Christmas card to, like, our top 200 donors or so, because we have 1,500 people on our newsletter. So it would be pretty pricey to send that to everyone. And then we use some of the same pictures in our newsletter, but we try to save, like, the very best ones for our Christmas card. But, yeah, let's see. And your client story when you're writing, you know, in your newsletter, it doesn't necessarily have to be an abortion-minded story. Sometimes I think it's easy to get hung up and think that you don't have an amazing story for this month or this quarter or whatever. Talk about progress that your clients are making in their personal lives. Maybe someone is going to college and you guys were able to help them, to help encourage them. Maybe they found a job. You know, anytime your clients are talking to you in the office, this is just like marketing brain, but I'm always thinking, could I use that for a quote? You know, that was like the perfect summarization of what we do. So get their permission if you're going to put it in print, of course. And then think about training your staff also to kind of be a quote collector. They can put it in the notes in their phone and send them to you or whoever's doing your marketing. That is so, so helpful. If the story is too personal, don't use personal photos usually. If they're not really wanting to share it, I will change enough details to where they couldn't identify the client for any reason. How many of you are in like a rural area? All of you. Yay. Okay. So I feel like this is more sticky in smaller rural areas because everybody knows everyone. So if it's anything where I think it could shed a negative light on the client, or even if they gave me permission, there's a lot of times I just won't share it because I want to protect them even if they don't want to. So, let's see. You can also use a stock photo. You know, if you're wanting to tell a story, use a stock photo, change a few details. That's one good way to get around it. Okay. Did we talk about that? All right. We've kind of talked about newsletter printing. We've used some different services. Our best results have been since we've gotten a printer, like a copier lease. We did not have that. Probably everybody has that but us. We had an old donated machine, and so then we had to outsource everything for printing for the longest time. And then especially when COVID hit, it was taking weeks and weeks to get some of our materials, and like our newsletters were getting behind. And so that's been the best investment if you need to, you know, if you need to convince your board, this would be one good reason why. And it saved us money. It'll save us a lot of money over time with everything that we're able to print now and do in-house. Let's see. Okay, you guys know the rest of this, I think. All right. Darrell was talking about this earlier. Keep it concise. That's one of the biggest things in like journalism in general and writing. Tell the story, get to the point. It's different when you're telling a story to someone in person. You can add a lot more details. They can hear the inflection in your voice, your emotion. You know, you're not always going to be concise when you're telling a story in person. When you're telling a story at the banquet, you're not always going to be concise. But in writing, people you're going to lose their attention really fast if you involve too many details. Use positive language. Again, that's why I a lot of times avoid political or legislation in our newsletters and things like that, because I want to keep it positive. I want to keep it focused on the client, what God's doing in their life, how the center has impacted them. And so, you know, using words, make them the hero of their story, basically. Think about if you were the client reading this, would I be okay with this? Does it make me look good? Obviously, not everything in their life is going to be good. But using words like brave mom, difficult circumstances, difficult past or tragic circumstances, things like that, versus she had a deadbeat boyfriend, no support from her parents. I mean, you don't know their family. These things might very well be true. And sometimes it's hard to sort those things out and think, how do I tell that without telling that? But there are ways to get around it and focus on the positive, what she has overcome, what you've been able to help, you know, what change you've been able to affect, that sort of thing. Unless you have permission to go into greater detail, or you really feel like you can't leave out certain details without really losing the meaning of the story, most of the time just being really concise, or asking the client to read it, you know, to say, I want to share this, you've told us, you gave us permission, but what do you think? Does this sound okay? Does this represent your story well? You know, I'll send a Facebook message to a client or something and just check with them. Most of the time they do not care at all, so. All right, just about done. Let's see, email us. Sign up form on your donor website. There should be a box, a place for them to sign up. Number two, I'll try to remember this. I'm really terrible at it, but at least once a month, twice a month, probably once a week wouldn't hurt. Put a link to that box that's on your website on Facebook and say, please sign up for our newsletter. I'm going to talk about this in our banquet upcoming. If our page were to get shut down on Facebook, which probably at some point all of ours, let's just honest how social media is going, you would have no control over any of that. And to be able to communicate with your donors, if you have an email list, you basically own that email list, and you could continue to communicate, obviously, through email. So I'm going to try to emphasize that to our donors at our banquet, because I don't think they understand how important that is. They just think, you know, they'll get it in the mail or whatever. But if you're needing to get out something quick, an email is really the most effective way. If a client has a need or something like that, you could quickly send out an email. And they can always unsubscribe, so don't feel bad getting everyone on your email list. Something we did we had a concert last week, and we ended up not doing this, but I'm planning on doing this for the banquet. You could have a QR code that goes to, that's linked to your website that has your sign up box, and just tell them, you know, scan it with your phone, and then explain again why you need them on your list. All right, whoops, I think I skipped a page here. Kind of the same thing as newsletters, concise, one picture or less. I've read that your emails can all end up in the spam box. If there's too many like photos, they see it as spammy. I don't know why that is, but you want to try to avoid or not use very many photos if you're going to use them in your newsletter, your email newsletter. Let's see. We talked about doing resend campaigns to your unopened people. So if you send a campaign and half your list, usually a 20-30% open rate is pretty common. So you're missing the other 70% of your email list if you don't resend that, or at least attempt it. Okay. Have a call to action at the end of each email, a link to your donation page, or a link to Amazon wish list for your clients, a link to a sign-up page for your event, for your walk, or your fundeasy, whatever it is, a prayer request, or ask them to follow your Facebook page. I would just do one of those. I try to only have one call to action. All the advice we've ever had from marketing agencies says try to focus on one call to action. So that seems to help. Okay. And that's just an example of a call to action. There's really just one call to action, but there's two. This was like a series of kind of our through the mail and through the email fundraiser that we had in place of our banquet this year. So it's just a recap of little videos that we had on social media, and then a place for them to donate. And then, let's see, just another example. This one doesn't have a call to action. It's really nice every now and then to not ask for something, just to thank your donors, and just to send an email just saying, this one was kind of addressing legislation, but it's just the point of, I'm going to inform you about this. This is something you need to know, something that needs to be on your radar, but I'm not asking you for anything right now. I'm not trying to tie that to any of our events and make it confusing. Just another way to connect with your donors and to thank them. Okay, almost done here. just remember that your client and your baby pictures speak volumes about the love and the trust you build with your clients. You don't need perfection. That's not what we're going for. Just a little effort and a few props, basically. So get their, just to recap, get their permission. Make a small investment in time and materials. Share through multiple outlets. You can repurpose all of that. You don't have to reinvent the wheel with every social media post, email, or newsletter. Allow your donors to celebrate each life and to be inspired by what God is doing in your center. So that's kind of what it boils down to. All right.
I have another question.
Yes, please.
So when we have a child born, a baby mm-hmm. born, if there is another sibling, mm-hmm. we take pictures of the baby, we take pictures of the baby and the mom, the baby and the dad, and then mm-hmm. all of the family. Mm-hmm. So how can you fit everybody in your little space to do that?
On the backdrop that we purchased, it can go up to like 8 feet or something, I think. So we could technically fit them all in there. Just be a matter of kind of, you know, getting them all centered and in the picture. You might want to do a few of like just the kids or just mom and dad and baby, that sort of thing. And I think the other thing would be permission, making sure your permission sheet designates that everybody in the family.
They have every baby's name on there and the parents.
Well, you guys have got that figured out. So, yeah, that sounds good. Anything else? Let's see if I forgot anything. Okay. Are we good on time? Thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.